It's about that time of year, John. They're talking presidential pardons. Applications are running at all-time highs, which means President Bush will be busy considering the files through his final days of office. And on the docket, some famous federal convicts, like former Olympic runner Marion Jones, former California Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham, and John Walker Lind. Remember him?
Sure.
The so-called American Taliban. But they may not want to get their hopes up too high. President Bush has handed out very few pardons in his nearly 8 years in office, and that's compared to his father, George H.W. Bush, and Bill Clinton. Joining us now is Margaret Love, a former pardon attorney of the United States under President George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
Why is there such a rush now with just months left in this Bush administration?
Well, I think that's a very good question. Apparently, people seem to think that that the president, or most presidents, give out a lot of pardons at the end of their term. And actually, historically, that really has not been the case.
It's not true.
Well, not historically, no. For the most part, presidents have given pardons pretty regularly throughout their term. And it was really only with President Clinton that pardoning at the very end of the term in the federal system happened. And so I guess people remember the Clinton pardons and they think, well, maybe something like that's going to happen this time.
Margaret, let me ask you a more basic question. Why in the world should anyone get a pardon if you're convicted in a court of law and you've gone through your appeals process and it's upheld that it was correctly handled? Why should anyone get a pardon?
Well, I think that's a really good question, and it does kind of go to the whole issue of what a pardon means. If you think about, well, let me say that there are two different kinds of things that the president can do with his pardon power these days, two main things. Number one, he can commute a sentence, and we saw that with the Scooter Libby grant last summer. He can actually reduce or cut entirely a prison sentence.
Mm-hmm.
If someone, for example, is serving a 20-year sentence for a crack cocaine violation and the president decides that 20 years is really too much and 10 or 12 is enough, he can commute the sentence. The other kind of thing that the president does is to pardon, and that usually these days takes place long after an entire sentence is served, and it's not supposed to reflect on the sentence itself. It's not supposed to signify that the sentence was wrong or something like that.
But I mean, isn't that a question of semantics? Because that's essentially what it does. If the president is deciding that somehow someone is unfairly convicted,
well,
then it's essentially jury nullification on the one hand.
Well,
and then
if they've already served the sentence. If they've already served the sentence.
No, but subverting what the judge has ruled was a legitimate conviction. Essentially, it is jury nullification.
Well, it's not really. And this is the interesting thing. If you think about a pardon as somehow reflecting on what happened with the conviction, then, of course, you do have this problem. But that's not what a pardon has meant in these past 100 years, for example. There are a lot of things that happen to you as a result of a conviction. You have many legal disabilities. You have the stigma of conviction. People come to the president for a pardon long after their sentence is entirely served, and they're really not looking for any sort of vindication their pardon is really a forgiveness.
So Margaret, if someone is a felon and they're pardoned by the president, they can vote again?
Oh, well, you know, voting is another thing. Voting in most states, it's controlled by state law. Voting in most states is restored either when you get out of prison immediately and automatically or when you finish your sentence. So there are only probably 3 or 4 states in the entire country where voting is not restored. But yes, that is actually the kind of thing that is restored by a pardon. Many jobs, for example, are entirely closed to people with a conviction.
So tell us about your time and what the standard was while you were serving as a pardon attorney.
Well, that's a very good question. The standard, which is it's kind of vague, and there are certain places in the federal regulations where standards are laid out. But we always looked when we were considering pardons, and I'm distinguishing that from the sentence commutation, we always looked to how a person had lived their life, what effect the conviction had had on them, and whether they had managed to take a lesson away from having been convicted. Had they gone back to their community after perhaps serving a sentence in prison and really kind of made an effort to make up for what they had done? And if we all also, this was in the Justice Department that we were looking at these convictions, we also kind of looked to see what a pardon, what signal a pardon would send to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Was this something that would tell them that the criminal justice system had functioned successfully?
Speaking of the public, is there any relationship, you think, between the amount of press a person gets as they're asking for a pardon and the likelihood that they'll actually receive that pardon or commutation?
Yeah, it's been my experience that it isn't really very helpful to get a lot of press before the president acts. It tends to be very discouraging. And so I would not ever recommend to a client of mine that he get a lot of coverage. But that said, it is not at a bit unhelpful.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes can be very useful to have people advocating on your behalf in a quiet way.
You mean like behind closed doors? But Margaret, my final question to you is, there's a real backlog right now that you talk about. And you're also at the same time are seeing record applications this year, like of Marion Jones and Randy Duke Cunningham and John Walker Lynn. What's the likelihood that President Bush is actually going to get through these 2,000 new requests?
Well,
not to mention the 2,300 already backlogged.
Sure. With all these famous names, people kind of forget that there are many, many ordinary people who apply for pardon and who really need it. There are hundreds of applications coming in. I have not had any particular expectation that this president would do a lot of pardons at the end, which really means that there will be a lot of pardons left over and carried over to the next president's term. So I expect that whoever the next president is, whether it's Senator Obama uh-huh. or Senator McCain, he's going to start off his
with a lot of names on that list.
A lot of names.
Margaret Love, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Margaret Love is a former pardon attorney in the Clinton administration, and we have a friend of ours here, Ashwina. And give me your last name.
Anbarajan.
Anbarajan. Who would you like to? Who would you like to pardon?
Oh, I don't know.
Like any teachers who you think were a little harsh and they need to be.
Well, they were
corrected.
Never put away in the first place.
They were never right, exactly. She wants them convicted. She wants them taken out.
I'm saying in a theoretical world. We don't have to be absolutely literal here.
I can think of some high school guidance counselors I might call.
I see. Well, you did well. You did well despite them. Indeed. Thanks for being with us, Ashwina.
Oh, thank you.
Today on The Takeaway, the presidential campaign continues, and so does the fight for the hearts and minds of American voters. The Olympic sport, Karen, it was a new sport in 2000, but were kickbacks involved? Which sports do you want to see in the Olympics?
And communities try to manage undocumented immigrants. A bomb rips apart a residential neighborhood in Turkey, and it's that time again. Presidential pardons, these are all stories we've been covering. Who's asking for them? Who may get them? Who do you want to pardon? Weigh in at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at www.thetakeaway.org.
It's Monday. Have a great week. I'm John Hockenberry.